This is CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CRB Ely. Live on Cliff Central.
Hello, Mzansi. This is Siyabonga Bele live on the Threaded Exchange. Back for another week, man. A week of black excellence. Another week of great chats, funny chats. Today's show is a bit unscripted. Like, you know, we always have this thing on the show where we have like all these like guests and stuff. But today's show is a bit more personal to me. I think what's important as when I host this show, it's not just about giving a platform to others to have a voice, but it's also important for you guys to also be on this journey of life with me. You know, I always feel like as I learn things, I like to share them with you guys on air. I like to, you know, voice everything out that's happening to me. And today's guest is very interesting. As I said, he's not really a guest because he's one of my best friends in the whole wide world. We grew up in the hood together, Langa Township in the house. And both of us have had very much similar journeys of just growing, self-discovery, finding ourselves as young black men, you know, trying to be successful, running away from poverty mindset, running away from poverty itself. And yeah, he's here today. And today we're just going to chat a bit about our friendship, a bit about our journeys, a bit of what have we learned, and most importantly, focusing on the poverty mindset, what that is, what is a poverty mindset all about, what we know about poverty mindset, and how every single day we battle to defeat it, I guess. I think one of the biggest things as African people of color is that poverty does not exist to us just physically, but it also lives in us psychologically. And I think this is something I want to, you know, definitely dive into today and just, yeah, find out your opinions as well. Please don't forget to talk to us on 079-748-2090. That's our WhatsApp number. WhatsApp us, man. If you think we're talking shit, tell us we're talking shit. If you think we're making valid points, tell us we're making valid points. We're also on Twitter at cliffcentral.com. We're also Threaded Exchange on Twitter as well. I'm CIBL on Twitter. Also, you can hit me up. Also, please don't forget, every single week after our live broadcast, we always have podcasts that get released the next day. So always make sure you catch up on those. I mean, we've interviewed people like Abu Asana Sizani, Latu Manqokolo, Anati, Frank Casino. The list is just endless, local and international artists. So whatever inspiration you're looking for, whenever you're feeling down, whenever you're feeling like, yo, life is getting to me, so make sure you can just go through our podcast and listen, and I promise you it will definitely lift your spirits. Talking of lifting spirits, I'm going to start today's show, interestingly. I think let's get some energy in the room. Let's get some energy up in our spirits. This is one of my favorite songs, actually curated by my guest. You know him as Eugenics, and he's like the official music compiler for the show, but technically he's also my best friend. So yeah, he said, let me, to get you guys moving and get you guys off your feet, let me play Dakapo's Imbovukazi.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. Guys, welcome. This is the Threaded Exchange. If you haven't been in tune with us, this is Siyabonga Bele taking you into a beautiful afternoon by inspiring you and talking about the shit that black people want to know, you know, talking about the shit that we think about as African millennials. As I said to you before I went on to that amazing track, I said I have someone very special here today. Sia,
what's up, bro?
Did I even put you live? Wait, I clicked on the wrong mic. Hey, Ndo, can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Nah, you can't hear me.
I can't hear you. Wait, it's mic number 2. There we go. Are you live?
I'm live.
There we go. You have such a radio voice.
Thank you, bro. It's working on radio.
How you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I'm good.
I'm actually happy that I'm finally here physically. I know I'm always here with the music and the love, yeah. But I'm happy that I'm finally with you, watching you work, G. And being here, like, it's a motivation.
It's wild, right?
It's wild.
Like, how are we, where we come from,
yeah.
And, like, we in this, like, studio. Can you imagine?
Imagine from start talking on top of crates talking. That used to be our radio, Zekasi, guys.
Yeah.
Sitting on top of a crate, just conversating, that's normal radio to us. And then now we have a platform to do such for thousands and thousands of people. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's What's amazing. Crazy about, like, today, guys, is that, so... Sia, his name is Sia. We're both Sias, yeah. So this is a Sia takeover. So Sia is literally one of my top 5 best friends in the whole world. We grew up together in Langa Township. dreaming together, saying, oh, this is what we want to do, talking about Cliff Central. We were together in December, we're together this best. Year, eating meat, our best. Brothers went to the bush together.
Like,
he's practically family. So today I was like, because it's Women's Month next month, so we've got this whole thing planned out for Women's Month, but today we had like a slot open. I'm like, hey, who I'm going to have on the show? What is the theme? I need a guest. And then I'm like, actually, let me invite my friend to come on the show and we can talk shit the whole hour.
Let's do it.
About life.
And us.
What's like, you're not from Joburg. No. You literally arrived in Joburg the other day. You've been to Joburg before, but you never
stayed as long
as you have. Yeah. It's always been in and out.
In and out. 2 hours in and out.
What are your first impressions?
Yo, firstly, I've had very interesting times in Joburg within the past couple of days. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. 4 days.
Yeah.
Blessed to you for the past 2 days. It's been awesome. You've showed me much of Joburg that I needed to see. But it was wild, interesting, and yo, man, Joburg is quite fun. It's challenging. Like, it's what we need as the youth of South Africa. We need something that's going to keep us going instead of being comfortable a lot. I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm considering staying for a while.
I feel like Joburg for me is such an a city of like extreme lows and highs.
Yeah.
Like, have you experienced extreme highs and lows in the
currently,
last 4 days?
Currently, within the 4 days,
has been a low for you since you've been here?
Yo, actually, I can speak about this. Let's talk bullshit.
Anything.
Saturday nights, I land Saturday nights.
You're excited,
energy's high.
You're like, CIA is on tour. You know that feeling of getting off a plane? Dude, whenever I fly, even if I'm flying to like the Eastern Cape, I always feel like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm international, bitch. Like,
you're doing
I got
something,
off a jet,
you've grown.
You know?
You've grown. So on Saturday, I land. I get picked up at the Gautrain shop. Hey, first time taking the Gautrain. I go to some spot called the Immigrant something. I forgot what it was, but it's in Bram. I don't know if you guys call it Bram or Broom. I can't remember. People call it different names. So I get there with my cousin. Yo, this guy's already lit.
Yeah.
Guys, my cousin is the best guy ever. He's already lit. I'm like, mate, what's happening? Like, yo, bruv, I haven't seen you in 10 years and you're already lit. He's like, yo, it's your party.
What does it mean it's your party? You just landed.
Like, yeah, because I just landed. And then I unfortunately couldn't make a gig, but it got postponed till this weekend on Saturday at Chef Posey.
Yeah.
And then...
So we had Chef Posey on Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday. I was meant to be last Saturday. And then we went to Burger Fest Burger in Newtown. It was a festival that we went to. My friends, their virus, were playing there. And then it was just lit. And then from that, so the lows of it is that on my first day, I had to carry my cousin brother to the car. And it's my first day in Joburg, and we live in the south, and I had to go to the south, and I had no idea where I was going, but eventually we made it home. That's the low of my first day of my weekend. But I guess it was another way of learning, I guess.
What is the high? The high of being in Joburg?
The high of being in Joburg is firstly seeing you.
Oh, wow, that's sweet, bro.
Yeah, actually, firstly seeing you. Like I said yesterday when we were talking that, I think had I not seen you, I think I would have booked my flight yesterday and left.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest, I would.
Don't you think we've become so much more emotional as men?
Yeah. My thing is,
like, interestingly, like, knowing that we grew up in the hood, right?
Yeah.
Like, we never used to talk like my best friend. We, like, even the whole thing, like, saying like, I love you, bro. Like, we say it now and it's easy to say. But like, we used to be like hot niggas, man. Like, we used to be like street niggas.
Except Mamela and Fit. Otherwise, yeah, Sean Fit.
Like,
that's I love you, Ekas. Otherwise, yeah, Sean Fit.
Also, remember, Ekas, if you said you love a nigga, it's like you're gay, bro.
Gay, yeah.
Like,
that's why I'm.
What do you think that is? What do you think. And again, that's actually the start of the conversation around like having a poverty mindset. Is that poverty tells you, like, as a black nigga, you can't be emotional.
Yes.
Right? So we are hardcore street niggas, like get into fights, like girls, and like just that whole hood lifestyle. And like, I remember we used to always chat about these lives that we dream of, and like, you know, going to school. We also, you remember also when we went to high school, we used to be laughed at because we'd be wearing khaki shorts and all that,
and
like,
Model C,
and we used to be like, yeah, fuck you, nigga, like this school is dope, whatever. What do you think has been the major change for us? Like, how do you think we went from those, not necessarily street kids, but going from that hood mentality and breaking out of that, especially emotionally as a guy, like masculine-wise, like the fact that now you and I can say, I love you, my nigga, you cool, my nigga. Like, emotionally, how did you think that breakthrough happened for you?
I think through them saying your persistence of being successful and declining that poor empowerment mindset in your head and us just going forward in life that made them realize, bah, no, man, they have a purpose, they're doing something. Yeah. And seeing us being successful and going for what we're doing, even though we looked like those odd people around the hood, they realized, bah, they're doing right.
Yeah.
And then from us doing right, they give you the respect of, they're actually cool people, they're right people, they're not what we thought we are. Let's praise them. Which is, we needed that before we had to go through many obstacles for them to accept that there's different paths to take instead of one.
Dude, I've been gay in the hood until last year because of fashion. Everyone was like, yeah, Sia's
gay. People don't understand. Like,
Sia's gay, he's in fashion. Sia's guys, gay, he's in doing this.
Guys, literally every time I'm in Langa, I have to fight people off, like, not physically, obviously, like, through
sometimes
word of mouth.
Physically.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. And people are like, yeah, is Sia gay? I'm like, my man, Sia is the most straightest person that I know, and he has the most beautiful girlfriend, so... If you guys want to talk, ask me that question. Rather keep quiet or just move on. Because
so that was crazy. I think for me,
I've had that. Sorry, I'm sorry to disturb you. Yeah, I've had that recently, and I even asked someone, dude, do I come off as gay? They're like, yeah, in like we are for that, we are teeny. I'm like, listen, you need to be free as a human. Just because we men, it doesn't mean we have to be follow this standard thing or this line all the time.
Also, I hate that whole thing of like consistently being asked like if you're gay or straight or whatever, because also when I say I'm not gay, it's almost like
I'm
projecting that being gay is negative. Exactly. It's like I'm not that. That's definitely exactly. Not that. Like
exactly.
Being gay is not a that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like also for me, sometimes that's why I choose to keep quiet, and because I choose to keep quiet, people are like, he's confirming.
Yeah.
Because there's times in interviews where I've been like, I'm not gonna tell you what my sex is. I'm a guy. I'm a young black guy. I'm a young black man. That's all that should matter. That's
very speed.
And what I have to do for the world is what should matter, not my sex. Because now if I'm saying I'm this sex, it also then has that connotation of other sexes are not okay.
Which is
and
true.
Also this whole stereotypical thing of like, why can't I be emotional? Why can't I tell my friends I love them? You know, why can't my voice be soft? I was raised by women. You
exactly.
Know? And also like, and also this whole thing of like being, acting like a girl, like, is that negative to act like a girl? If I was raised by a woman, I have some of those characteristics. I love them.
It's the best. I love them. Like honestly, oh guys, both you and I were raised by single parents. And from that, we've learned, I learned how to be a mother and father at the same time, G. Mm. So if I give you mother love at the same time, it's because I'm used to getting mother love. And I'll give you mother love, even if you're a homie. You can come to me with your muscles and be like, what's up? I'll give you a hug, G. I'm like, what's up, man? You good? If you find that offensive, then, man, you
but I mean, if a homie tries to test us, we're always ready.
Yeah, we're always ready. That's another
soft
thing.
As we are.
That's another thing. But it's always the best life challenges, I guess, because, if you don't go through that, you'll never discover what people think and how you can change and make people think better.
I guess
that's the only way.
Yeah.
I think us going through what we're going through helps us discover what we need to change and grow in the hood from where we come from. And that's the best thing about it.
Yeah. Definitely. How would you define poverty mindset? What is a poverty mindset to you?
It's someone who's very close-minded. I wouldn't just say close-minded. It's very close-minded. You don't necessarily have to be in the hood. You could be a suburb. Sorry, I'm going to speak about Cape Town, but you could be in Constantia and I could be in Langa. You could be very poverty-minded living in Constantia, but I'm not in Langa because I'm thinking further instead of just thinking, okay, I only have these resources. These resources won't take me anywhere. Each resource you have can take you anywhere in life. That's the honest truth.
Yeah.
So if you are poverty-minded, you take whatever you have, which is...
You just accept. But yeah, this is how life is.
This is how it's supposed to be. And also,
like, I think for me, positive mindset is exactly that. Like, the acceptance that there isn't anything better or the fact that you don't think you deserve better. Mm. And I think that's a lot of... That's actually, let me be crass, is that a lot of black South Africans or even black Africans, we suffer from that. Like, because we... Nothing's wrong with the hood.
Not at all.
But then as black people, the hood is not our only option. You know?
Okay.
We think, like, for example, like, my mom didn't grow up with a rich family. You know, she wasn't gone to a good school. Mm. But my mom was always like, I see my circumstances, but fuck it, there must be more. There must be more than this. Like, there must be an easier life for me. There must be a way for me to lead a different life. My mom should have been a farmer.
Yeah.
My grandmother was not educated. My grandfather was not educated. So she could have easily accepted, like her siblings did. Like, exactly. To an extent, my mother's siblings accepted that, okay, this is life. Right. My mom was like, yo,
there's more to this.
I see this is life, but are there other lives we could live? And by her exploring that simple concept or that complex concept, I'm now in this position I am in today where I've gotten access to opportunities. So I also think like sometimes as black people, yes, we love the hood. It's not even a hood thing. It's not about the hood. For me, the hood is like a metaphor for any situation in life. So women who are in relationships where they're being abused, being in a space in life where you know you deserve better, but then you sort of get into this depression or whatever it is and you just park and you're like, this is it for me. It's fine. Yeah. I'm going to survive or whatever.
There's
but
more to that, baby girl.
There's so many suburbs in the world. There's so many lives you could live.
Yeah.
And for me, those lives are not, yes, we can say it's dependent on money, economic. Yes, we can blame all these lively things. But up until you decide, I feel like the universe is not going to work with you to take you out of that instance.
Spot. Thank you, Bri. That's you gospel
know?
Over there.
And I think for us, what I enjoy is that like we grew up in the hood. We love our hood. But we're always like, you know what? We want to build other lives outside of the hood. We want to have access to other people. We want to learn. We want to take... What we want to take our hood to the world, essentially. That's what it's been about.
Instead of staying in the hood, let's take our hood with us wherever we go. That's what people understand. But I love the fact that people from Langa respect the fact what we're doing now. Back then it was different, but right now they're like, okay, I see you. I see exactly what you stand for. And I get people actually apologize for...
Do people know Langa is like the oldest township in the country? Not Soweto. So, nah. People always think Soweto is like that.
I haven't been to Soweto, but it's
the whole oldest hood in South Africa is Langa Township.
Langa Township, 7455.
Yeah. And then tell me, I mean, a lot of people now know you as my friend, of course, but I mean, that's not your claim to fame. I feel like us being friends is not a factor.
But you are a
highly successful musician, actually.
I am, and most people, and also
not a hate about success. People will look at your social media and think, "Oh, he has 1,000 followers, not successful." But like, dude, you went 2 years in Dubai, having a residency. You've played at music fests.
I've been growing from what we've been speaking about. I think people understand that if you stay with positive people who are trying to push you as much as they push themselves, you will learn and you grow. And from that, I managed to push myself from a young kid from Gwalanga to Dubai, to like, okay, this might sound very like egoish, but to one of the best places in Dubai. Like every day was like glorified for me, because every day I woke up, I was like, thank God for this. And people never understood why I was not in communication with them too much. It's not that I was distancing myself from people, just that there was more to grow in each and every day there. So
yeah,
from Langa to small radio shows, I need to take off my watch because this is getting hot. From small radio shows to...
Don't worry, I'll give you a break in 3 minutes.
From back to back traveling in South Africa to...
But let's go back. Not to disturb you, but like, why music? I think for me, where I'm trying to... Because for me, the show is about teaching lessons, right? There's kids in the hood who are listening to us.
Yeah.
That's the fact that we And I hate the term that we are no longer in the hood. We're still in the hood. When I'm in Cape Town, I'm in the hood. Like,
we chill in the hood the whole time.
I love Sandton, but hey, I prefer being in Langa. Yeah. But like, there's kids who look up to us and are sitting in the hood and they're looking at everything around them in different hoods around the country, looking at what's happening around them and thinking, fuck, my life is over. I go to school, but it doesn't mean shit because there's crime, there's this. Like, there's just so much shit happening where they feel like they can't even have the opportunity to explore their dreams. We've been in that situation before.
True.
How did you get out of that? What was it for you being in the hood and being like, actually, this is my life, yes. My mom has taken us this far, but we can go further. I see all the bullshit happening, but it's not going to stand in my way. How did you get that energy or that thing of,
It's the will and honestly, ladies and gentlemen, kids and everybody, it's the will and power. People won't believe it if I say I was part of a gangster crew, like back in the G. Let me tell you something.
I know this.
Yeah, I was.
And my girlfriend knows this. I was like, babe, he's so amazing. He used to be a gangster.
I used to be like, but it's the life that I told myself that's nothing. Like, I never robbed people. I never stabbed people. It was like when you were still a kid. It's like quarter to. You know, before I got to that stage, I was like, this is not me. So it was back then in the hood, basically, if there's different sections, right? So this section doesn't like this section. This doesn't like this section. So
as the Ambelani sections.
As the Ambelani sections. But there was always soccer, right? So we'd normally go to the soccer field. So whenever we go there, people would cause chaos. But these kids from this section are here. Let's fight them. So that type of gangster, not the rough gangster guys, just in case. And eventually my friends started joining into that knives and stuff. And I was like, yo, really, I am not this person. And then my late brother introduced me into music. He had this tape, the recording tape. Remember the olden days when you used to put a pen and then you have to rewind with the cassette and everything? So he introduced me to that. And then I was like, all right, cool, you know what? Let's try this music thing. Guys, I started off as a rapper. I can't rap still, but I started off as a rapper. And then from rapper into straight on DJing, because also my late friend who passed away, who taught me how to DJ, is the one who made me fall in love with deep house and Afro house music. And then from then on, I was like, okay, cool. There's this place called A Love Life Center right opposite my house where I stabled myself every day after school. Instead of going out and going to fight with other people, I boxed myself and went to this place, found a resource which I could use, and started mixing music from then on. From that day on till today, yeah, I've been mixing music, giving people music, trying to show people a positive mind. And plus, I was also thinking... Actually, see, I'm going to say this on the show.
Say it.
I was thinking, as I go back, I'm planning on doing something for the kids in Langa, which is like go back to Love Life, open like studio lessons for the kids, and yeah, see how it goes. Because yeah, I feel like there's more to life than just...
Let's collaborate on that. Because I'm keen to do something as well. That's something we can definitely do together.
Please, dog. Because you can... There's two sections in Love Life. There's the studio section, and there's also the section where you can have a fashion... runway for kids to explore themselves so that they don't have that insecurities of themselves. If they're into fashion, if they're into music, yeah, and if they're into soccer, they can all join in and do it. Because we can't just have one resources of, yo, let's go kick a soccer ball. Okay, we do all to kick a soccer ball. Let's go stab people, go kill people. That's not it. That's that poverty mindset we're talking about. There's more to everything. In each and every room you have, there's something you can use to take you forward, I guess. That's the only way.
Yeah,
but that's my mini journey for now. Briefly, eventually on the show, I'll jump into it and Dubai. I'll jump into Dubai also. I'll tell you guys about Dubai and how fun it is.
Amazing, man! And what is it like? You know, because also we grew up as kids in Langa, and mm-hmm, we were always like, you know, there were days when you remember my early days. Yeah. We used to go to the same matric dances,
and
I wasn't really the fashion guy, but I was sort of trying. Yeah. You were also the music guy, but you're playing through the jack.
Yeah.
You know, we were all trying, but what was it like for you to hear your first perfect mix where you're like, shit, I'm a DJ? Or your first gig where you're DJing and people are dancing. What was that like?
I remember my first gig. I still remember this. Guys, if you ever go to Langa Taxi Rank. Right opposite Langa Taxi Rank, there's a red container. Where that red container was, there was we had set up a small DJ system yana there, and then we literally played for the people going to the taxi. So me, my brother, and my late friend stood there just DJing for people. First time mixing a song was Lavish's song 189. I remember that song. I played it. It went in. No kicks, no nothing. From then on, I dropped a mix following. It was not really good. But as years came by and being residents for radio show, I managed to drop a mix, a clean mix, guys. Like clean, no hiccups, no nothing. And then from then on, I've been producing for Sia, I guess.
Yeah.
From then, the first time I got it, I don't know, Sia, yo, like, it's... Do you know people get tears of joy, right? It's like tears of music. You guys, I'm sometimes deep. But yeah, the first time I dropped that mix, it changed me. It changed who I am. It made me understand music. That music is not just play, stop, send, next. No, it's about fusing. And it's about having the right playlist and letting people go through a journey instead of just throwing it at them and like, yeah, let's dance, let's do this. Give them a journey, give them life, let them enjoy themselves and let them forget about all the other problems and just be where they are. I guess that's how I plan out my mixes. Not just give them, okay, let's dance, let's be about that. It's about making them remember who they are and remembering why they're there exactly.
Definitely, definitely. Wow, man, let me give you a breathing break. But guys, please do chat to us on 0797-482090. If you have a friend and you both grew up in the hood and now you find yourself becoming successful and chasing your dreams, tell us what that journey has been like for you, man. Like, do you have friends who might be gangsters? I mean, I still have friends who are gangsters in the hood. Yeah. Like, I'm not even gonna front. Like, I have some friends.
We know
when
people.
We go home, we are protected.
Yo, we know people.
But tell us about that. It's very interesting, and I think That's, you know, the poverty mindset thing is a big thing for black people. And I think sometimes it's not just about you breaking out of that, but it's about how are we helping others break out of that as well. You know, how do we show others the way? How do we show others how to do things? How do we help each other collectively as black people to realize that we don't deserve to just chill and accept things the way they are? We have the power to make things happen for ourselves.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, I like being South African, man. Like, none can do rhythm like us, bro. None can do rhythm like us.
No one at all, G.
Like, actually, shout out to our boy, Spusisa from Langa, who's listening right now.
Shout out Supreme Soul.
Supreme Soul. Big talent there. Creative, all-round rapper. He's just talented. And actually, I also grew up with him. We went to pre-primary school together. Can you imagine? Yeah.
He's very powerful. His voice, his lyrics, everything.
Powerful young man. I really love him so much. I think, yeah, he's going to do great things. Bro,
what's up,
this show is amazing, man. Do you know what I like about the show? I like the fact that, like, the reason why I think Gareth Cliff is a god.
Yeah.
Right?
What's up?
For me, like, I love Kanye, and Kanye is global, but South African-wise, I feel like Gareth Cliff is like Kanye for me.
Okay.
Because, like, he's the kind of guy that's like, you know what, let's express ourselves no matter what. Like, fuck this bullshit of, like, following structures and ways of doing things. And one of the things I like about the fact that he allowed me to be on Cliff Central is that, dude, like, he allows me to do anything that I want with my show every week. No one tries and tells me, Ace, do it like this or do it like that. Uh-huh. Like, I just like the fact that, like, I get to be a work in progress with the show. I get to just try different things. I get to make mistakes. I get to explore. And each and every time I make mistakes, it's always like, yo, that was perfect. That was dope. Like, keep doing that. Or, like, take that away. Like, that works.
Because that's real,
work.
G.
And it's very seldom to find spaces like that in the country that allow you to just grow and be and express. And shout out to Gareth. Bro,
what's up?
Let's talk about friendships.
Let's go.
How do you feel our friendship has played a key role in your growth?
Or the people around us.
You know, because I think most of the people always ask me, how am I so successful? How do I keep a clear-headed mind? You know, when people are talking shit about me on Twitter or I'm being dragged for A, B, and C, and D, how do I keep calm? And I'm always like, guys, I'm surrounded by real people.
Yeah.
And, like, people on Twitter are not real people. Nah. They're just people who have comments.
Yeah.
I'm surrounded by really, really quality people, and you're one of those people. So how do you think, especially, and that's another thing, going back to that poverty mindset, is that, like, you know, people end up being friends with the wrong people.
Yeah.
You have people that are really talented and people that can really go to the next level, but they can't go to the next level because they have shit people around them. No offense, but they just have shit people around them.
Which is true.
So for you, what's been your journey like in selecting friends, and how have your friends played an important role in you, you know, realizing your dreams?
Yo, you learn a lot, hey. Like, especially where we come from. Like, you learn a lot and you... From the journey that you have in Cape Town, you learn who's genuine and who's not genuine. Besides someone being successful before you, you get people in Cape Town, even before that, who already don't like you for people liking you, even before you are successful. And you wonder to yourself, are these people genuinely my friends? Why do they say this to me and say this to the other people? Like, for example, I'll jump into you, G, because you are the closest, you're the only close friend which this thing has occurred to. And I was like, my Milan man, that's when I actually got angered. Everyone else, I'd be like, okay, cool, that's their thing, that's not my thing. You're like the only person that I actually was like, Ebongo, Lando is a gum. It's hitting me like it would hit you.
Yeah.
But it got to a point where I was like, you know what? People are people. People will say and do things without even knowing anything.
Poverty mindset.
They don't even know. The only thing they know is this thing that they're being told. But no action.
I also think the biggest problem in South Africa, especially what I've learned over the last 6 months, is social that media. Like, the biggest thing of poverty mindset amongst our people, you actually see it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because on Twitter, we jump on these hate trains
without
even, you know, like, how we used to say in Koseka, so
that's Twitter.
And also that whole saying of don't catch bullets that are not for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So what's been very interesting for me is watching people just jump on this train of, yeah, Sears abusing creatives and so on and so forth. And I'm like, you guys don't know me. You don't know the work that I've done. You don't know the work that I've done behind the scenes.
Yeah, Papa, yes.
You know what I'm saying? The people that are that worked with me who were affected and are saying these things, also you don't know what the conversation was between me and them, and you're listening to that one narrative. No one is asking critical questions. No one's asking, why is Sia quiet? What actually happened? Please show us the emails. Screenshot the contract. Screenshots. Why don't you go to the court of law if Sia has like done this huge and bad thing? Go to court.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So there's also that, but also what's interesting for me, poverty mindset doesn't have the ability to celebrate failure. And what I mean by celebrating failure is that when someone fails, we are always so caught up in pinning them down for that failure. Yeah. It's like, dude, like, to be honest, like, not that I'm creating excuses or talking bullshit, but guys, the world doesn't care.
Yeah.
Whether you get paid or don't pay, the world doesn't actually care. You can tweet as much as you want. No one really cares. And what's important in your life is learning the key lessons and asking the critical questions. You know, I had to realize from a young age when I worked in business that no one cares.
No.
No one really cares. And whether you have a good heart, whether you have a bad heart, whether you try your best, whether you pay on time or don't, like, people generally do not care, you know. And so you have to understand, you have to hustle for yourself. You've got to work for yourself and you've got to put yourself in a position where you can flourish. So I look at this train on Twitter where some people have jumped on a train that wasn't for them. And all of a sudden now I've got people that I will never ever work with
or meet
or even meet or not even touch because they decided to retweet something that they had no knowledge of. And now I'm like, okay, the next time I don't want to. And that's what's crazy about our industry is that, like, if I now get to a space where I'm like, okay, I don't want to work with these people because, I mean, it means you're not a critical thinker. True. Then Sia is arrogant. Sia is this. Sia is that. So it's pretty
tricky. Same WhatsApp group, which means they all the same.
But and I'll never respond about my life on social media, ever.
That's
like,
I think that's what I've learned from you.
And for me, it's that, guys, until I confirm it, it's not true. It's not true.
Yes,
and if you want to take, if it doesn't come from my lips, it's not true.
I know this might sound really funny, but sometimes I like it. Always tell people different stories so that they can argue about you on the side while you're doing successful things on the other side.
Definitely.
Because you can tell people I'm doing this, they will say negative things. So just confuse them and carry on being successful.
And also, guys, like, another thing about my life is, guys, I'll never confirm if I'm a millionaire or not a millionaire on social media.
Never do that.
Like, you can't also assume someone's wearing a designer top, they're not a millionaire. Like, guys, stop. Social media is just that, social media. And people will always show either the best side of themselves or the worst side of themselves. And I think sometimes people show their best sides of how they look, but that also shows their worst side.
True.
You know? So, guys, don't believe what you see on social media. Having the right people around you is important. I think that's actually what's been key for me in our friendship is that, like, I remember when I was going through depression last year and I'd like felt like I'd crashed, and I came back and I spent time with you guys in the hood. I literally came back to the hood. And then I chilled for like 4 months. And then everyone's like, are you back in Cape Town? Are you living? Everyone in Joburg was so stressed. Are you living in Cape Town? What are you doing next?
I think the best was that December month.
Yo, we that's drank where, that December.
That's where we everyone bonded. And if people don't understand, December changed our lives and made us realize we just need this space to grow. We don't need to pay attention.
Also, like, December memory, that life is, guys, like, another thing that I feel like today I'm going off script. Also, guys, like, talking. Life is not that fucking serious. Like, relax. Like, I know I say a lot, but, like, if I could tell my 15-year-old self, or if I could tell my last year old self, it's to say relax. Like, yo, guys, relax. Hey, like, no one cares about what car you drive. No one gives a shit about what clothes you wear. Like, no one actually fucking cares. Like, we're all going in the ground when we die. Like, to be honest, no one cares. The only thing that people care about is you pursuing your goals and dreams. Like, that's how you can change the world. That's how you can live forever. Not through, like, oh, I can't be friends with that person, they're a hoe. Oh, I can't be friends with this. Like, that must be such a stressful life, having to live a life where you're consistently worried about what other people are doing, what they're addressing, what they're doing wrong, what they do. Like, gossiping, like, it takes so much energy.
And admin.
And nothing positive grows from that space. It's like a fucking disease because, like, you continuously, like, guys, watch the people around you, man. Like, if you have friends that talk crap about other people all the time, like, you're gonna be that person. You are what you surround yourself with. You are what you eat.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we don't eat our friends physically, but we eat what they say because it comes in our ears. There's different types of consumption, and, like, we consume without even trying to consume. Like, your ears are open. You can't close your ears. If your friend says, "Ah, oh, eugenics, Usia is a shit person," like, don't entertain that space, guys. Like, don't discuss people. It's a waste of your time because no one actually cares what you think about the next person. Because as much as you might think that person is an asshole, another person thinks that person is a god, you know? In your life as well, you're busy talking shit about other people. There's someone who thinks you're a shit person too. Like, so don't play in that space. It's just such a waste of energy. It's a waste of time. And I believe in life is that, like, look for the best in people.
Yeah.
You know, people's actions don't define who they are. This whole thing of, yeah, that person is a bad person. I believe then if you can say one person is a bad person, we're all bad people. I just think that as human beings is that we are highly selfish beings who are all lost on this planet, who are also trying to find their way home. We're trying to find their way home through our passions. And along the way, we all make mistakes. All along the way, we all screw somebody over. Along the way, we say bad things. Along the way, we have fights. Along the way, we are human beings. And there's no quality another human being has that you don't have within yourself. If you're calling someone else selfish, you are selfish. That's a general human quality. Everybody at some point is selfish. Even the most giving people are selfish. Muhammad Gandhi at some point was selfish. Like,
people don't understand.
At some point, everybody is selfish. Like, it's a human trait. So don't look at people and define them by what you see.
And what you think of them from what they give you.
Sit
down and understand a person.
And also the truth is subjective, guys. Like, you know, my girlfriend always says, you know, the truth is an accurate standing of your reality.
Shout out, Tut.
You know, an accurate understanding of your reality. Meaning that, like, my truth is not your truth.
Yeah. It will never be the
truth. So stop trying to make your truth other people's truth. Like, you'll never win because people are grown differently. People have been pushed in different ways in society. People have faced different traumas. People have faced different experiences. So those experiences essentially build up who they are and essentially makes them who they are and how they think and what the truth is to them. So by trying to enforce your truth, it's like trying to take away their experience, you know, their way of living. And sometimes freedom, like, not to say you can't show someone another point of perspective. Definitely we can learn from each other. But you can't disagree with someone and be angry and be like, yeah, that person's a bitch because they believe in this. Like, stop. Sorry, that's my rant for the day.
Yeah, that's gospel. I hope you heard the truth.
That's my rant for the day. I'm done ranting.
G. Thing is, I heard you, and as while you were talking, you made me think of a lot of things. But I told myself, let me not. Yeah, I said it for me also. For my behalf, thank you. And I hope people just don't ask me any questions. All I want to do is, can I help you grow? Can you help me grow? Can we do something for each other and be happy? Let's stop being negative, be positive, and let's grow. Going back to Dubai, shout out to my people in Dubai, currently on Facebook Live. Sia, you wanted to hear about Dubai, my nigga?
Yeah, I wanted to hear. So this guy becomes a DJ. Within 2 years, he's in Dubai with a residency. Black Coffee has been playing for 20 years, and only in the last 5 years has he gotten a residency overseas. What did you do differently? How did that happen?
It's patience. Persistence. I don't know. It's just patience and persistence and just knowing what you want. Yeah? Like, yeah. See, people don't understand. I'm that type of person. When I say, let's work, let's do this. I mean, let's work, let's do it now. We don't need to be financially stable for it. But if there's a platform, there's a way to do it. If I know this person, you know this person, let's do it. And then it all happened. And then Dubai happened. I met a lot of beautiful people. Abo Roweni, Abo Tepihlasa, Abo... Yo, there's a lot of people that I met in Dubai. And they've played a good role in my life. Shout out to Lauren also. Lauren is a very, very good friend of mine from Cape Town that we...
Yeah.
And then we met up in Dubai. And then Dubai. Oh, there was also another spot called House of Africa that I first played at when I got there. I remember it was after my birthday on the 8th of January 2016. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Yo, that just did wonders, I guess. Like, it opened a lot of doors for me from being listened at that marina. Was it marina?
Yeah
marina. And what I forgot, what was it called? Media One Hotel. Yes, it was at Media One Hotel. From then on, my career just went up unexpectedly. But you never unexpect anything if you work hard for it. Yes. You're always ready for it. And you always have the tools for it if you work as hard for it. And then from that, I was just a normal people. I never stopped doing what I was doing in Langa, of going to promoters, going to the hotels and saying, yo, I'm this person. I do this and do this, do this, that. Bear in mind, Sia, I was doing good for myself in South Africa. So I could have easily been that person that said, I'm too big for this. I don't need to be out here looking for gigs. They must know me. I'm this person. No, guys, yeah. There's no such thing in life. You must always... Not everyone knows you. Not everyone knows what you're about. Not everyone knows your past. Even people who know you currently don't know where you come from. So they will say, okay, cool. Yeah, you're this person. Yeah, okay, yeah, you're here. So what? They don't know how far you came. You need to make sure that you pull the tools that you've been pulling since day one, each and every day, in order to stay as relevant and as persistent as you are. And then from that, I managed to live, travel, seek, Dubai, travel the world, planning to grow further more than what I have now, hopefully in the future, near future, and seeing what happens. And hopefully going back to Dubai together, G. But yeah, that's another story that we will talk off air about.
Yeah.
But people must get excited about it because, yo, it's big things happening.
big things happening. Anyways, bro, I think, yeah, this is not the end of the show.
Nope.
Which is sad. Yo, I just checked news. Afropunk is happening on the 30th and 31st in Johannesburg. And the headliners, actually, guys, I'm getting this now, so I want to like give you proper dates. Catronada, The Internet, Flying Locust, Public Enemy, Thundercat, Tandiswa, Youngster, Moonchild, Dope St. Jude, Faga, Azagia, and more. So this is just the first lineup. That's Moonchild is also going to be there. Yeah, guys, happening at Constitutional Hill in Joburg. So, hey, South Africans, how are we going to do the budget? Because now, Asna Mali.
Yeah, son.
Now we have to pin 7K tickets on Beyonce and Jay-Z. Then there's also Afropunk.
Hey, man, I was thinking of that just now.
Yeah.
But don't you... Sonny. Hey, man, don't worry. All I'm saying is your boy's got you.
But anyway, guys, this is the end of the show. Sia, thanks so much for being here today.
Bro, thank you.
I think we talked a lot of shit, but I think we talked a bit of sense as well.
We talked a lot of sense to people, and I think people now understand Sia and Sia Squid. Sia Squid.
Can you teach me how to DJ, and then like we can have like a little DJ group?
Definitely.
Sia Squid.
Sia Squid. Sia Squid. Yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah, Sia Squid.
Sia Squid. I'm actually good. I think I like music.
Actually, his selection is good. I always in his car. He's the DJ in his car.
I'm the DJ in my car. Yeah. I am the headliner in my car.
Yeah, and then but
the three people are like my attendees, but they have no choice. They stuck in the car with me. But thank you so much, bro. How can people find you, your music? I mean, they can find your music on Cliff Central because you're going to be
here
with us every week.
Every week. You can catch it on SoundCloud, and I have a latest feature mix on My City by Night. Shout out to Craig Stacks for that. It's on his SoundCloud page on SoundCloud, and then you can catch me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook page, and that's Eugenic Sibata. And then on my normal Facebook is Siyabonga Eugenics Sibata, and then that's about it. Otherwise, on WhatsApp, you can catch me on 08362. Never mind. Bro, thank you very much for having me here today.
Anytime, guys. It's a pleasure. You know me. I'm Siyabonga Beyile. You won't find me on social media because I'm hardly on social media. But do look out for updates from my team because my pages are still running. So check out what I'm up to. Yeah, if you want to see me, I'm talking publicly really soon. But catch me every week on Cliff Central, every single Tuesday from 2 till 3 p.m. And also check out the podcast. They're all there. I think we've done almost like 50 episodes, if I'm not mistaken, of this show. Wow. Of this installment. So go there, get motivated, listen to my work is there for the world to consume. Don't consume me, the work. The work is there, and we've got some special things coming up. Don't forget to always WhatsApp us on 0797482090. Thank you to my guy there at the back for helping me with the show. He's like the best, and also like he's a model, and he's gonna do some crazy stuff with me on the thread, man. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, man, thank you to everyone. Thank you to South Africa. Thank you for everyone for listening in and tuning in. If you're in another African continent, shout out, and I love you so much.
This is CliffCentral.com.